Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, good evening, Paul. I'm not too sure if you can hear me, but I couldn't hear you before. You can hear me? Okay, that's good to hear. Privilege and a pleasure to be on the show, mate.
Okay, let's start the show all over again now that a minute and a half in and I've actually got some sound. That'll be really, really good. So, hello everybody and welcome to the Driving More Show here on Monday the 3rd of August. We come to you at 8 p.m. every single Monday, giving you your rugby union fix. And the weekend, we had some Super Rugby action in Super Rugby Aotearoa and Super Rugby AU. But you know what? We're not going to talk about that. If you want to hear about that, head on over to the review show last night that Ashwin and I did to get through all of that action. And yes, the reason you couldn't hear me for the first minute and a half is that I had my microphone on mute. So that'll explain that technical issues. You know, it's just too complicated for some of those old people. Talking of old people, how are you doing, Stephen?
Yeah, good on you. You love me in that, group. Well, at least I haven't lost my faculties, but it's good to be here on the show once again, Paul. Looking forward to talking a little bit of the overall tonight.
Yeah, what I was trying to say when I was on mute was you've been hobnobbing with famous people this weekend. So why don't you just give us a quick rundown of some of the famous names you've got to interview at the weekend on Saturday?
Well, actually, it started actually during the week when I was at a service station. I ran into Ruben Wiki and had a good chat to him about the Warriors while he was grabbing a coffee up in Whenua Pine. I've got to say, what a really lovely guy Ruben Wiki is, and he looks like he's still in pretty good shape and could still run out for the Warriors. But now headed along to watch a bit of a club rugby on the weekend. We had the Coleman Shield, which was the final for the Premier Women right here in Auckland. And boy, the ladies, they really turned it on, put on a great final with Ponsonby Manurewa. Just let me keep going so I can build people into this. Great to have a club game where there's so many internationals playing, and that was the great thing about it. But we'll tell you about it later. I don't want to dwell too much on it. Let people, just give them a teaser.
Okay, just three different black ferns at least that we've got interviews for on the page. and future Blackburn as well, I reckon, looking at her performance at the weekend. Joining us, and we've got another international to talk to, because we get to hobnob with a famous person here on the show. Hey, Dwayne Poliativa, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me again. Stephen, nice to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Yes, Mr. Humble, who won't even put himself, he's like, there aren't many nines around from the islands who we can pick for the island side, says the current Samoan number nine. Never mind.
That standard rule, Paul, you can't pick yourself.
Can't pick yourself. And joining us also, the technical advisor for Manukau Rovers. Hi, Boa, how are you doing, sir?
Pleasure as always, Paul, Steve, Dwayne, the three wise men. Pleasure's all mine. I hope everyone is well.
Oh, dearie me. At some point, we're going to actually have to talk to Boa about rugby and Sri Lanka, because apparently rugby is the number two sport in Sri Lanka after cricket. So, and he knows all about it. So at some point, folks, look out. There will be a chat about that, because that's something that I'm not that aware of. The only time I've heard about Sri Lanka in rugby is when they got accused of faking people's birth certificates to get them into playing international. But there you go. But I'm sure Boa knows all about that and can talk to us. But before we get into all the club rugby, there's a chunk of international rugby coming up that I thought we should have a look at and a bit of a chat about, because it's a really kind of strange, or well, it's going to be a different setup than we've seen previously in the November window. They've gone and changed how it's all done. So here is a quick spreadsheet to show you what's going on this, or what we've rumoured and announced, a mixture of both. So the first sort of, we've got a trial game, as it were, North versus South, on the 27th of September, which will be held up in Auckland at Eden Park, which I think a lot of people are looking forward to. And it's your the first Mitre 10 Cup team you played for. So some real interesting ones. We've discussed it before, about different players, pardon me, being perhaps in the sides that you're not expecting, such as Brad Webber is apparently available for South Island, not for the North Island, and a few others like that. Some of you might remember that a few weeks ago, Sky put out Sky social media put out a picture which showed a bunch of games that hadn't been announced yet. And one of those games was the first Bledisloe Cup clash on the 10th of October. Now, I've put question marks next to that because nothing else that's been released suggests that game is going to go ahead. But potentially we will have the first international game we could have. It could be Australia versus New Zealand in the Bledisloe Cup. It will be that game anyway, or that sort of fixture, because they're going to meet on the 17th of October in Brisbane. That should be the first in rugby union international back, and it's Bledisloe Cup. Boys, can you think of a better, or is that the sort of game you'd like to see as a return game to sort of really kick things off, or what would be your dream game to kick things off, Stephen?
My dream game would be, given that game is not being played till September, my dream would be they actually had a final of Super Rugby. That would be my dream, even before we got to the North Island South. I've got to be honest, I can't think too much about it at the moment, because we still got a bit to go. And I almost feel like we're sort of talking about something in the future. I suppose that to me it's just like it's going to have a lot of input from the All Black coaching staff, and I do wonder what we're going to get there at the end of the day. I'm a little uptight that there's no final series. We've seen some great rugby played in Super Rugby Aotearoa. I think it would have been great to have a semi-final and a final.
Dwayne, you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, didn't you? You said that, look, it's those big games, it's those final games that players want, and that, you were like, yeah, we shouldn't have a round robin. you like the idea of finals, don't you, as well?
Oh, of course. And I think, you know, just what the current things are, you know, every team would have a chance to win the championship. And I think, you know, just whoever turns up on the day, you know, sort of evens it out as well. So it makes it quite interesting. But we're looking forward to that North and South. You know, there's definitely some young talent that's coming through, and in, you know, a couple of old dogs still running around. So it'll be a good battle.
The and then okay, so that's we have a couple of Bledisloe Cup games. Then the Northern Hemisphere or Europe finish off the Six Nations, Ireland first versus Italy, and then Italy versus England and France versus Ireland to round off the Six Nations that started earlier this year. The as you can see, Wales will play France in a warm-up game, and Scotland playing Georgia in a warm-up game ahead of their first clashes. And England are going to warm up against the Barbarians as well. So that's how the Six Nations will be finished off from last year, or sorry, from earlier this year. Then we kick off, then they have a weekend off before they go into their Six Nations plus two, which is Six Nations plus Japan and Fiji. Again, they're going to play round robin with finals at the end, the beginning of December. And the Rugby Championship should be taking place in New Zealand between the 7th of November all the way through to the 12th of December. You might also notice I've got a Kangaroos All Blacks question mark in there because that was suggested as the 5th of December, but I think that doesn't look like it's going to happen, thankfully. I'm not pro for that kind of that kind of stuff. Looking at that Rugby Championship, we're looking at so it's going to be six games back to back, six internationals. Dwayne, can you imagine playing six games over 6 weeks, six internationals over 6 weekends? What's that going to do to the players' bodies?
Oh, I guess there's, you know, the challenges that depth of the team. But obviously, with the Six Nations, you're going to have to play your best week in, week out. So it'll be challenging for the playing group. But at the same time, you know, these boys haven't played in a wee while, so they should be fresh, you know. So we'll see how we go. I think it's a bit of the depth and how probably the coaches rotate their players.
Yeah, I think we might see, a few that rotation there, a few players getting debuts this year that wouldn't we might not have expected. And there's a question for all three of you: debutant All Blacks players this year, who do you think will get be a debutant All Black? I'll give you a couple of seconds to think through that while I just explain how that all wraps up. So that'll all wrap up by the 12th of December. The 28th of November is also the finals of the Mitre 10 Cup. So what you can see there is that I don't think we'll see many All Blacks playing in the Mitre 10 Cup, but I think we'll get all the Super Rugby players obviously playing in there. We had obviously a suggestion earlier in the year that maybe we'd have this supercharged Mitre 10 Cup with all the All Blacks back, but I don't think we're going to really see that. And with those six games back to back, it could be an extended squad as well. So quite a few players perhaps missing. But Bowe, do you want to throw us a potential All Blacks debutant for this year?
Oh, it's very easy. Clear duck pick Hoskins Sotutu, former Maritimes, now playing for the Blues. I think he'll, based on his current run on form, in my book, is a clear duck pick to start at number eight. Amazing stats. I was going through his line breaks, his carry meters, just his overall work rate. And of course, he's got the skill to be able to break from the back of the scrum and actually get some really solid kick meters straight out of hand. So I think overall complete package, and for me, top pick to make All Blacks debut.
Yep, good one. Yep, very much so. Stephen Harris, do you want to go next?
I'm not entirely sure. I would have probably said the same, Hoskins Sotutu as well, but I'm going to go with Caleb Clark. He's just been so powerful on that wing. He's just walking through tackles. And what you got to realise with him, he's a very big guy. He's in excess of 100 kgs, around about the 6 foot mark, sort of similar built to his dad. But yeah, I think he could be a chance.
Well, Hoskins Tutu apparently used to play on the wing. He might start out wide. The other big thing about Caleb Clark is if you look at the back three, the first choice back three for the All Blacks of Bridge, Reese, and Dane McKenzie, he offers something different, as you say, with that size. Whereas those three, all much slighter, more elusive style of players. Dwayne, have you got a name?
Yeah, probably a couple of weeks ago, I definitely agreed with Hoskins. But due to injury, that's probably sort of held him back a little bit. But I wouldn't say no to that. But definitely Caleb Clark. I think he's been the form winger in the competition. I throw a spinner in there. I'll go Finlay Christie as well. I think he's going to be a bit of a bolt. But he's been playing well. And I think if he continues the way he's playing, he brings a little bit of X factor for a nine. And you got a back of nines as well. So, yeah, I'll chuck a spin in the works and go Finlay Christie as well.
Paul, I was going to say the other guy I just thought of is Lachlan Beauchure as well. As a genuine fetcher, he's been superb over the ball. So I would not surprise me if he's in the mix.
There's something I'm going to throw at all of you is, given that we have a potential 6 weeks back-to-back in the rugby championship, maybe it's time post-COVID. We looked at actually increasing the formal number of players you can have on game day, i.e. your bench, increase it by maybe another couple of players, have one extra back, one forward. Because, 6 weeks back-to-back, it's going to take a huge toll on players, given that they have to play at, the intensity of test rugby. And also, there's just so many players who are putting their hand up, and this might be the perfect opportunity to innovate and actually push for a case with World Rugby and give more players an opportunity. What do you guys think?
Dwayne, okay. Personally, I'm very anti that idea. If anything, I would reduce the number of substitutes you're allowed to make so that we have players, so we particularly have props who have to play, who are conditioned to play the full 80 and not conditioned to play 60, and therefore bring down their size, their power a little bit as they have to do more cardio, would be my point. So I would say that we should have less substitutes rather than more to try and reduce the impact by having slightly smaller players. So that's the way I would rather go. And then you also have more space towards the end of the game when players are tired, rather than just rolling on pretty much a full pack who can just keep running and keeping that space down. So I'd rather actually go the other way than having larger squads. But Dwayne?
Me personally, I'll probably just keep as is. I think reducing, you'd probably make the game small. Like a lot of the players will tend to have to trim down. Game rugby is for all shapes and sizes. So, suits some and this doesn't suit others. And the game's getting quicker. So you'll probably just keep it as is for now. I think Ball's got a good idea. Six games back-to-back. It's going to be pretty intense, especially with Six Nations. It's a tough competition. Some big boys up north. And the contact area is going to be crazy. But, yeah, probably for now, just keep it as is. I think, you got two, 23, so you've got two props. Give them a good 60, 70 and bring in the fresh legs. So, yeah, probably just keep as is.
Stephen, any thoughts?
Paul, I'd like to see some sort of dispensation maybe given for the teams that are stopping in New Zealand, like South Africa. They haven't got a lot of domestic footy going at the moment, and I think they'd need a decent sort of spread to be competitive.
Yeah, I think a couple of warm-up games for them would be kind of handy. So if they could... but unfortunately, you kind of like which players are available to play warm-up games when there's my 10 cup on, the Super Rugby side would have sort of been shut down for 2 months. It's very difficult to see how you can do that, but agreed there. A couple of other players have got mentioned in the chat. Will Jordan, playing fantastically. Unfortunately for him is that you've already got Dane McKenzie and Jordy Barrett in that 15 jersey. We've just mentioned Caleb Clark coming along with Bridge and Reese. So, there's a bit of a logjam of players, which is what Bo was talking about there. So, yeah, he might miss out just purely on how much talent there is in that space. Another player I was going to mention was Michele Tu, has also been playing the house down at number eight. So if Hoskins Tutu doesn't come back from injury, then Michele Tu has also put his hand up as well in that space for playing for the Highlanders. He's also playing for one of the weaker teams, results-wise at least. He's really put his hand up. So another one there that we might want to highlight as well. I do like this idea from Nocturnal Rights. Eight on the bench, but you can only use four. That way you've still got all the options there. The players are kind of, well, hopefully we'll get more fatigued and more, therefore you won't have as many fresh players against fatigued players as well, from an injury point of view. So just some thoughts there. Maybe we should move on now and have a chat about some club footy. Starting off with on the women's side then. I'll be honest, not an expert on Northland, but Tiroa versus Kaikohe finished 22-19. And Stephen, please put me out of my misery. How's it really said?
I will put you out of your misery, mate. I don't even know why you even bothered starting. But yeah, Saturday we saw the Northland Premier Women's Club Final between Te Rārawa and Kaikohe. Now, these two teams met last year. The big difference was Kaikohe took out the victory last year. But the intriguing thing about it, there was plenty of internationals playing in this game, the likes of Portia Woodman, Tyler Nathan Wong, who have all transferred up to play for Northland, the Farrer Palmer Cup this year. Of course, the Northland captain, TK Eringa Mate, who was running around as well. Aroha Savage, Camilla Wihongi, and Rowena Everett, who have all played for the Black Ferns at some stage throughout their careers, but also a cameo from Cheryl Smith off the bench. Now, it was a very, very hard fought final at the Te Rārawa Rugby Club up in Aipara, and it was the home side that took out the victory by 22 points to 19. Now, they were up by a lead of 17-0 at halftime and 22 points to nil with around about 20 minutes to go. But that's pretty much when Kaikohe with Portia Woodman pretty much kicked into gear, scoring a try herself, setting up another try, and they scored again with about 15 minutes to go, and it set up a wonderful, wonderful finish. And Te Rārawa had to put out all the stops to take out the victory in what turned out to be a very good final. I know the locals really enjoyed it up there, and of course, sweet revenge for Te Rārawa after their loss to Kaikohe in 2019, Paul.
Very good. Dwayne or Bo, any thoughts of you following Northland rugby?
He's like Superman. He's just jumped into a Northland shirt.
Yeah, no.
I bet the final up north, I mean, be it women's or men's, would have been quite intense. It tends to get very tribal up there. And of course, playing rugby pretty much any venue up north, beautiful. Surroundings, very picturesque, and you're right, Stephen. All the locals come down. You know, they turn it into a pretty full-on communal event, and must have been quite an atmosphere, and especially to see so many internationals. Well, we're starting to see a clear trend here, aren't we? We're starting to see more rep level, more Super Rugby, more Mitre 10, more provincial players who come from overseas, either Premiership in Europe, as well as a number of players who've been playing in Japan. They've done their quarantine, they're back in shape, and they're playing grassroots rugby. I think it's a wonderful thing. However, there has to be equal representation. We're going to start seeing a few hidings here and there if that is not addressed. And I think the gaps or the gulf between the top sides and the not-so-top sides, it's going to be exposed. And I think from a competition point of view, that's not very good. But isn't it a wonderful thing to see all these top-level elite players playing grassroots club rugby?
Yeah, for the within the women on the women's side, and we'll get on to the men's side later. But on the women's side, the postponement of the Olympics has allowed the Blackburn Sevens to take part in rugby. Obviously, Portia Woodman up there, and we'll also Steve will talk to another one during the Auckland club final. But I don't know if the All Black Sevens men's players have been released back to club rugby in the same way, but Dwayne, you think they have?
Yeah, they have. We currently have Tony Nashu playing for us at 7 and 8. So he's released from us from the start. So he's only got a couple more weeks with us, and then he's back into camp. So yeah, we're utilising him as much as we can before he heads back into camp. He'll be well missed because he's clocked up a few metres since playing for us. So he's been great.
The Olympics has had a big, the cancellation of the Olympics has had a big impact from that point of view. Looking at Harbour Rugby, and I think because the Harbour Harlequins have joined the Auckland competition this year, I don't think they had finals or this weekend. So I can't find any results. And Stephen, you were at the Coleman's Cup, which was the finals of the women's rugby in Auckland.
Yeah, Coleman Shield, Western Deal. Springs at Ponsonby's home ground on Saturday. And, you know, you talk about some quality players on board. It pretty much mirrored a couple of Farrah Palmer Cup teams, really, with Manurewa, with plenty of Counties Manukau players, and of course Ponsonby with plenty of Auckland players, but the amount of Black Ferns as well, just to give you an idea. Something around about 8 internationals or so. Teresa Fitzpatrick in the back lane, Charmaine McMiniman, the number 8, of course Ruby Tui, who was just absolutely outstanding, Eloise Blackwell, and of course a Irish international in Ciara O'Connor as well, but also on the other side of the ledger, Leilani Peresi on the other side for Counties Manukau. I think Lisa Molia has been there or thereabouts in the around the New Zealand Black Ferns environment, and also Lavinia Tohala Liku, who plays for Western Samoa on one of the wings. So that just gives you an idea of the quality. And I've got to say, while the first 15 minutes, both teams were a little bit nervous finding their feet, it was Ponsonby who took two amazing opportunities with Natalia and Sylvia Brunt, basically scoring tries from long range that seemed to put Ponsonby in control. And they had a 10-3 lead at halftime, but Manurewa hit back with a try of their own. Now, it's standing in their pack was Haruno Te Iringa, who's a bigger, rangy flanker. And, you know, she played number 8, beg your pardon, but she more than matched Charmaine McMenamin on the day. And, of course, Ponsonby just getting a little bit away from Manurewa with a couple of tries. And really and truthfully, I thought they were dead and buried with 10 minutes to go, but you could not count on the determination of this Manurewa side. And they scored a couple of tries, one right on the full time, and they had an opportunity to win the game, but the conversion missed, went away to the left of the post, and it ended up at 20, hence extra time. No scoring in the extra time, but Manurewa would probably be kicking themselves because they had scrum dominance during that period, but opted to take shots at goal, where I thought it would have been better to just keep packing scrums, grind Ponsonby. But Ponsonby came through and showed their class. And the two players that stood out, well, of course, were their Black Ferns, Teresa Fitzpatrick, who ended up being the player of the day, and Ruby Tui, obviously coming from her sevens background, just absolutely... It was like there were three of her around the paddock. There's really not much to her in terms of size, but she is some athlete. And, boy, what a way to cap that game. And Ponsonby, I think once they scored their first try in extra time, they just really got a bit of a roll on. Dwayne, if you're listening, just the girls are just playing some fantastic rugby, aren't they?
Well, you know, just like what Bo said, you know, we're seeing a trend of international stars who are filtering back into their club football, and it's only just, you know, making club rugby a lot better. And for me personally, like we've played a couple of teams now who are, you know, have got some stars and international players, and you know, guys are playing professional rugby or bigger clubs and are just filtering into, you know, club footy, and it's just making rugby very competitive. You know, obviously Ponsonby running away with the women's championship. So, you know, it's always good to see, you know, and I think the New Zealand team have a camp up here in Auckland at the moment. I may be wrong, but I think I've heard that they've got a camp as well. So, I mean, it goes to show, and it only helps grassroots rugby grow, and especially, you know, the not so professional kids or young girls or young boys who are playing club footy, just to, you know, rub shoulders with some professionals. It's only going to make the game a lot better, not just for Auckland rugby, but for New Zealand rugby in general.
I tend to agree with Boar, though, when he says we do need an even playing field, even in the women's division, because, you know, you sort of look at that bench. I know a lot of us watched the Ignite Red Bull Sevens last year. We've seen in the last couple of seasons, we've seen all this young talent running around like Princess Elliot. We know what a good player she is. You know, also the likes of Grace Kukutai, who came from the Northern Mystics as a netball player, Boar. But I actually think it's very, very important that those other four clubs that are involved in the Auckland competition are strong as well, as opposed to having all the talent in two teams.
No question about that, Stephen, because, you know, the best example I can give you, gentlemen, is Super Rugby Aotearoa. Now, the reason why there's so much interest is because pretty much every game we watch is extremely close, and it's a nail biter, and it goes right down to the wire. So if we can have competitions right around the country which mirror the same model, I think it's just going to keep the competition really healthy, and it gives everyone, you know, a shot at spoils, because, you know, most of these kids play club rugby because, you know, they get a kick out of it. That's what it is. They want to enjoy the sport. They want to be part of their community, play the sport of rugby with the, you know, players they've grown up playing with in, you know, part of the local schools, etc. So unless there's some sort of regulation around this where there needs to be what I would call equal representation, especially with these superstars, you know, we're going to start seeing some inequalities pop up, and it's only going to get worse. So maybe something, this is something I've been wanting to get out of my chest for a while, is that perhaps, take for example, the Auckland competition, Auckland Rugby Union could possibly look at divvy up some of these superstars amongst these clubs and give every club an opportunity to be on a more even keel. Or look at some kind of handicapping system, kind of like in horse racing, where, you know, the top seeds will be handicapped to a certain limit, just so we keep the competition closer and more competitive.
I can just see, yes, the Akiriwani gets sent back to Ponsonby, and he has to get loaded up with 10 kg of lead weights to slow him down, to even things up between the handicap system. Sorry. Being facetious there, but that's how the horse racing one works, isn't it? They put extra lead things in. Bo and I were having a quick chat about this pre-show, about how do you divvy up players? And I think one of the problems for me is that there's a lot of focus on first 15, which is school rugby. And then basically players join a club until what they're about 12, 13 ish, go off to high school, play high school rugby, come out of high school. Now, do they go back to, if they're a promising player who's been looked at by Auckland or by their province, do they go back to their original club, or are they headhunted by your Ponsonbys, by your Marist, by your Grammatex, or the kind of the top sides? And do they go off to there because, hey, they think, look, the coaching's good. If we look at something like Marist, for example, they've got the ex-Blackferns head coach and the ex-Counties Manukau head coach. So they've got a guy there who's got international and Minor 10 Cup experience as their head coach. Surely that's going to be a good environment to help them progress their career? Or do they go to the club they were at before, where the coach isn't so well known and perhaps hasn't had my 10 cup experience? And then suddenly that's their club. And to me, I think that's probably the thing is to try and how do we step up all the clubs so they have the same level of support for their for players, so they don't feel they have to go to Ponsonby or Marist to get recognised. Dwayne, you're obviously off talking with some of the young players as they come through, as they come back. Is that the kind of thing they're looking for?
Yes, Paul. I think a lot of things all comes down to results as well. You know, if your club is performing well, you know, winning games, obviously a kid coming out of school would obviously lead towards getting to the best club or a championship club. And in saying that, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the coaches do play a big part as well. I only speak from experience because when I came out of school, I wasn't too sure which club I wanted to go to. But, you know, ended up at Pakuranga purely because they had, a great coaching staff and Wayne Pivak. I didn't know him personally, but my old man only heard of him being an international coach and stuff like that. So, you know, sometimes CVs do bring players to certain clubs as well. It's just, I think a lot of us, as we said, Auckland Rugby need to find a process in which, you know, kids coming out of school, potential stars, you know, how can we spread the talent to certain clubs? Because we're going to see the same thing every year, top six clubs dominating, and then you get the bottom six or however many still fighting it out at the bottom. So, yeah, it's the good thing is we had COVID and, you know, we've got time now to really focus on the next 5 years or the next 10 years. You know, how can we spread the talent so we can make it a competitive competition, but like the Super Rugby.
So, Dwayne, which club did you play for before you went to high school?
As a junior, I was at Papatoi.
Oh, so you did stay with the same? Okay.
No, Papatoi, and then I moved to Pakuranga. So Papatoi as a junior, until I was about 11, and then went to college. So, yeah.
Oh, you see, that's the problem. You should be going back to your junior club. That's once you've run out at five with bare feet and no gum shield, that's when you should be tied to your club.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but see, Paul, you see that old school model, it's now done and dusted. It's over. Now, for example, if you look at Auckland talent, about 40 to 45% of most club rugby talent comes from the southern catchment area or South Auckland. But if you look at the spread of players, how they represent the clubs, you will see most players who played their school or junior rugby in South Auckland have moved to the stronger clubs. Now, you cannot blame the players for that because they want what's best for their career. And now, under the current model, where there is no what I would call official regulation, it's pretty much free for all. Now, best example I can give you is last week's game, Marist versus Varsity. Now, you know, the week before, my boys got thumped 71-0 by Varsity, and I made a very bold statement saying that Varsity are the one to beat. Now, previously unbeaten Marist got put away very comfortably, 37-22, by Varsity. Now, again, Marist had two Super Rugby representatives in their starting 15 against Varsity. But again, they were no match because University, they've got the players. They've got the players. They've got the firepower. They've got the ammo. So, again, if there isn't what I call some form of regulation where all the delegates, the CODs, have a discussion and come up with some kind of formula, the more Super Rugby players, the more returning players from overseas, once they come back into the country, they're going to look for the best possible club where they can enhance their careers. And this gap is only going to get wider. So it's a wonderful thing to see all these top quality players playing club rugby. But this is one area I think the administrators need to be aware of. Otherwise, as I said, the gulf is just going to become wider and wider.
I think that's also difficult as well to control, purely because a lot of the players who do come back either are not contracted to Auckland, so they can't have a gauge on, you know, who they are, which club they're playing for. So that, it makes it difficult, but I know what you mean by, you know, a lot of players that have come back recently are off contract or, you know, not contracted to Auckland. So they go purely based on, oh, who's my good friends that are at certain clubs? Oh, obviously I'll go to this club or, you know, et cetera. So, yeah, it's going to be tough and they got to find a way. But, yeah, just on that, you know, a lot of the players are non-contracted. So hence why they're probably certain players that go flood one club and then, you know, follow their mates. So.
Well, I have to say, having said all of this, I've got a couple of real superstars running around at my club as well. I'm just waiting for international clearance. So I can't tell you who they are, but... I knew you'd say that.
Yeah. So that's a good point. Now, let's run through some of the club results from the weekend. As we've mentioned, one from there from Auckland. Should we start with them? Stephen, do you want to start with Auckland first?
Mentioned something before we went off that subject. I do find that you find this is where a little bit of your social indifference comes into it as well, where those top eight clubs or so are pretty well supported, got some really, really good backers. But if you're in one of the Te Papapoas or the East Tamakis or the Otahus, they don't have that same sort of backing as well, and they do need a bit of shine and a bit of polish. If you can gather a good bunch of under 20s together and say to them, hey man, this is a cool club to play for, you can make it from here. You don't have to move to a Varsity or a Ponsonby or a Marist. You can cut it from here, because there have been times in the past in Auckland Club Rugby that we've seen Manukau had a very, very good team. I don't know, it might have been about four seasons ago. They probably had one of the better back lines in Auckland when they had guys like Chance Bunce running around for them. Stacey Ely, I think, might have been running around for you guys as well, boy. And, you know, and guys like that have all gone on to play representative rugby. So just a thought. Paul, I will start with this week. I'll actually start with Counties Manukau Rugby. I've been getting a message from Robbo, who's been watching a couple of the Counties Manukau games, and he suggested that I make it out to the Manurewa versus Karaka game this weekend. They play for the McNamara Cup down in Apukekohe at the moment. We've seen some one-sided results. Papakura struggling this year. Patamohoe far too strong, 54-12 to the good. And, of course, Manurewa with a big win over Waiuku, 50-3. Waiuku even used to be one of the powerhouses out in the Counties Manukau region. Ardmore Marist, 25 the Karaka 15, that was the closest game of the weekend, but Ardmore Marist showing their credentials again. And Bombay travelling away to Onifero, getting the win, 31-26, Paul. As we look at the Counties Manukau table, our top four there, Ardmore Marist, Manurewa, Bombay and Karaka, of course, two play four on Saturday, which is the big game. So we've got some decisions to make ourselves in terms of which games to go to.
Yep. So yeah, as you say, that big game, Ardmore Marist versus versus them.
I'll jump into North Harbour Club Rugby, and from the weekend around seven, Takapuna on their merry unbeaten way, 33-8 over last year's champions East Coast Bays. But the big upset of the weekend is Kumu with a good bounce back win after getting a bit of tap from Takapuna. 24-15 over Northcote. That they would have probably celebrated that win long and hard in the Riverhead club rooms. Messi 29, North Shore 13, and the first win of the season for North Harbour Marist. And Paul, I haven't got the table with me, but if you can go through that. There we go. I've got it right here. So our top four, Takapuna up the top with 33, Northcote 26, North Shore 20, and East Coast Bays 20, but still sniffing around. Silverdale, Kumu, and Massey, but time is running out, remembering they are in round seven in that competition. I'll head up to Northland Port while I'm on a roll. Now, Old Boys Marist travelled to Welsford and got a good win. So Welsford, after taking Horahora down last weekend, went down themselves 19-14. Waipu, the current premiers, far too strong for Ngāti Hine Moerewa UK. and that ground was underwater a couple of weeks ago, so it was good to see them actually get some play on that ground in Kawakawa. Mid-Northern 33, Western Sharks 12, always hard to win in Hukurunui up on the hill. That's Sid, that's going country. And Kerikeri too strong for Hikurangi at 29 points to 5. And of course, in another bit of an upset, not too sure if the wheels are falling off with Horohoro, but they were taken out 13-10 by Horohoro on their home ground in a very, very tight one as we look at the table. And, of course, the Northern Finals happening on Saturday, the 22nd of August. I might be heading up there to maybe commentate that game as well. So looking forward to that final, whoever's there. Waipu, Horohoro, Mid-Northern, and Kamo and Kerikeri make up the top five. But it's probably going to take a couple of upsets to push those top three teams out of contention, Paul.
Yep, absolutely. And we'll finish off with Auckland.
Yep, we'll go to Auckland. And as Boa said, University, yeah, they're just starting to find their feet in this competition. They got knocked over earlier in the competition by both Ponies and Waitemata, but they've had a sprinkling of few of guys come back in. Obviously, the likes of Jonathan Rudu has come back into the side, and a couple of others, Liam Steele, who was playing Major League Rugby in the States. He's come back into the side 37-22 to the good. Ponsonby v. East Tamaki. Ponsonby far too strong. Of course, Suburbs getting back in the winner's circle. Looked like there wasn't a lot of tackling in that game. 62-31, 93 points there at Otatahu. Would have been very, very entertaining. And a really good effort there from Te Papapa to hold Eden 29-17. Just remembering, this club struggled to put a senior team out on the paddock a few weeks ago. And Grammar Tech 24, Waitemata 24, after Grammar Tech led by 21 points to nil with 25 minutes to go. And Waitemata going for a pushover try right at the end of the game, decided to take the 3 points and walk away with 2 points. But quite a smart move. And we'll quickly look back up on top, and we can get Boa to tell us a little bit about their results. College Rifles 36, Manukau Rovers 12. Boa, in the scheme of things, on the scoreboard, not a bad effort.
Well, yeah, look, I have to say the scoreboard doesn't actually do justice to how the game fanned out. Rifles took 30 minutes to score. I think our boys, they stuck to a plan. And the difference was the Rifles had some real X factor players. For example, they had their chiefs, the Super Rugby player, Tumu Amanu, and he was up against one of our 19-year-olds, was part of the 2018 St. Peter's First 15 side. There were some very clear-cut mismatches there. But, you know, it was an entertaining sort of game. There were some real flashes of brilliance from some of the Rifles boys. And, they played some end-to-end rugby, edge-to-edge, moved the ball well. They had a very good understanding of how to play rugby against teams like Manukau Rovers. But as far as our boys went, I thought, sterling effort for large parts of the game, hung on to the ball, but just didn't have the firepower out wide. And, end of story. Good win for Rifles, and they've got some really good players. I think they're going to make a name for themselves in the club premier grade. Now, Zan Sullivan was supposed to start the game, their fly half or first five, but he was a late withdrawal, and they had this young kid, Molly Fiver, who I thought was fantastic. Man of the match performance. He's got some speed, that boy. So overall, it was a very entertaining game. Played in good spirit, I thought. We had a bit of a ruckus, rowdy crowd getting behind it as well. Some big hits, some real big hits. Rifles just far too good, end of the day.
And boy, I see in the midfield, they also started Tumu Amanu, who's got super rugby experience, and Mahana Grindley, the superstar out of King's College. That's a couple of big midfielders, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. So the baptism of fire for most of my boys just keep continuing. And, you know, look, the bottom line is, you know, you can coach all you want. You can come up with all these wonderful tactics. But there's always going to be that point in a game where there's a one-on-one situation, too much pace, too much strength. You know, you're just going to get done. So lots to learn and, you know, great opportunity for some of these younger guys to play against the likes of Manu and Grinley. But I have to say, you know, we had a couple of young fellas coming out of Wesley College. One occasion, you know, Manu got outstepped and he was put on his backside, which was a very rare highlight. But I'll take that. And it's been a talking point for a couple of days amongst the boys. But look, you know, these kids, they're on the improve. And this week, it doesn't get any easier. We have to head over to Bell Park and play Pakaranga. You know, we've got an enormous amount of respect for them. And we know they're a great side. But as I said, you know, we have a few plans of our own. And hopefully we can get international clearance so I can unleash a couple of unleash a real superstar, but end of the day, you know, rugby's a team sport. You know, 14 men help the 15th man score the try. So we'll see how it fans out this Saturday.
Well, boy, you know how this works. If you get invited onto the show, you have to give us the scoop, mate, and that's all it comes down to.
Breaking news.
Yeah, I just hope there's some video footage of Tumua Manu being pushed off. I want to see that. But we're not going to push this next guy off, Dwayne. Pakuranga 31, Papatoetoe 30. Paul will tell you I'm good with segues. That was a very close game. And you get to take away the Rangatoe trophy. Can you tell me a little bit about that trophy first, please, Dwayne?
Yeah, we had one of the old boys come through after the change room, or into our change room, sorry, and explain a little bit about the history between the two clubs. He played a couple of seasons for Papatoetoe, and then he sort of came across to Pakuranga and coached and played also for Pakuranga. So he created the shield, the trophy, and hence why we played for it. So there's a lot of history, and you know, as a score sort of showed that it was one of the, you know, toughest games we've had in a wee while, because one, it was physical, and two, it was a pretty much an 83-minute game. Went down to the wire, and you know, we were lucky enough to scrape through. You know, we started off Hassan Aroa, scored, you know, two tries and two really good tries, team tries, and we thought, okay, we had wind against us, and we thought, you know, we'll take the victory. But I think we probably celebrate a little bit too early, because, you know, as you know, Papatoetoe is one of those teams that just keep fighting. Some standout performances from Papatoetoe, their number 8. He was a menace, for 80 minutes. JT Hifo, I think it was. And he played an outstanding game. I thought he was man of the match for them. But our prop, Jerry Samania, he played an awesome game, and he took a knock early on, but came back on the field and he, for a prop, he played 80 minutes and performed really well. Along with Al Tien, who got the winning kick at the end of about 83 minutes. So, yeah, it was one of those games where who turned up. And I think that's Auckland Club Rugby right now, is, you know, anyone can win on the day. And that's the beauty about it, is, you know, we were lucky at the end to take the victory.
Well, the great thing about what's happening this weekend, Dwayne Politavayo and Boa Athu get to meet each other this weekend, and one of them will have a smile on their face. That's a good thing about it, because Pakuranga take on Manukau Rovers this Saturday at Bell Park, 2:45. So I don't know if the ground will be nice and muddy, Boa. That's the only issue I've got, mate.
We've been on the phone to Mana. Coaches Papatoetoe, good friends of us, and he's been giving us he's been giving us the inside source and the formula. So, Pakuranga, watch out! But now you guys are clear cut favorites by country mile. But as Dwayne rightly said, you know, things can change very rapidly week to week, and especially with teams who are in the bottom half of the ladder. All it takes is a couple of sparks, get some momentum, and then, hey, it's all on. And I mean, I'm sure you guys would have expected to put Papeete'oi away by, you know, a few points. But as it happened, it went down to the wire and single points. So you gotta be grateful that you got the W, you got the points, and I'm sure it made for a great spectacle.
Oh, definitely. Well, and I know we know what to expect this weekend. You know, it's another physical match. I think Papeete'oi is probably the biggest team we've played. It doesn't get any easier with the River Boys. They are a hoodoo team, to be honest. Old Waitemata and Rovers. So we know what to expect. And, you know, we're not taking this game any lightly. We know we have to front up week in, week out. And a lot of things to work on this week. You know, we weren't too happy with our performance. Yes, we got the W, but definitely a lot of work on.
There's a good old saying. There's a good old saying, guys. Strange things happen out east in the month of August, so you never know.
I was gonna say the best thing that's happened to you, Papeete'oi have softened them up for you, brother.
Sore bodies.
Yeah, it's gonna be sore bodies.
You know what? I've been watching the video of the game on Huddle pretty much all day today, and I have to say, man, it was a physical battle, and that's a big hit, so I think they've done us a huge favour. So let's hope for the best.
And I'll wrap it up at that, guys, but just before we go, probably the two big games coming up in round eight this weekend. Last year's a repeat of last year's final, Ponsonby v Marist, and of course College Rifles take on University. You hate to say it so soon, and I'll probably get shot at the Waitemata Rugby Club, but you're probably thinking those four teams are going to be, it's maybe one of those four teams at the end of the day, but let's hope some of the other teams come against the grain. So pretty much wraps up our Auckland rep. Paul?
I mean, there's a couple of Eden are just 1 point behind University, so with Papeete'oi this weekend, they've got a good chance of getting the win, moving up there. If Pakuranga get the win over Manukau, then again, also they will climb up into that top four fight as well. So, yeah, it's still there are, and with Grammar Tech also against Te Papapa, they should get the win this weekend. You'd think in that one. So, at least Grammar Tech and Eden both will be looking upwards there, as you say, Waitemata. Should also get probably against Otahuhu, who've not won yet this season. They'll be looking to also sort of close that gap. So there is a big distinct top half and bottom half feel to the table now, with the gap of between Waitemata and Suburbs of 8 points there. It's two wins it is becoming a sort of top half bottom half of the table. In that one, as Stephen said, he might be heading down to counties for a game. I will be heading out to Auckland, catching a game, and we'll see if we can see how many games we can get around this weekend. I do have an update from Waikato Rugby, but I'll put that up as a separate video on our Facebook page as we're running out of time, folks. So do catch up on our roundup of the Waitemata Rugby. That'll be on the Facebook page soon. And Bo, thank you very much for coming on. I know you have got an idea as to how to restructure New Zealand rugby. And we're going to have to discuss that 1 week, which we keep on running out of time. Dwayne, thank you very much for coming back on. Again, our international superstar hero there.
Well, more pressure on you, Dwayne, next week.
Exactly. Let's
go a hat trick against the Rowers.
Fuel to the fire. Yeah.
And, as Boa will be videoing the whole game, he can do a highlights package of your contribution to put up on the Facebook page afterwards.
Add to Moore's highlights as well. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, look, as I said, guys, you know, Pakuranga, red hot favorites at home against a team from South Auckland who have nothing to lose. But when a team has nothing to lose, they're a very dangerous proposition.
Period.
It'll be it'll be fun. Thank you, Stephen, for co-hosting with me again this this evening. We will be back at back at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning with the morning sports briefing, your best way to start the day up to date with all the important sports news. And obviously on Friday at 8 p.m., we'll be back previewing the Super Rugby for the weekend as well. So thank you, everybody, for joining and have a wonderful week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.